Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Talking Games with Kelly and Andrew. I'm Andrew.
I had to clear my throat.
Yeah, that was rough. That was brutal.
I'm Kelly.
Do you know what I think about Kelly?
No, I don't know. When you do stuff like your mind.
When you do stuff like that, I think, like, what if this is somebody's first episode and they tune in and they're like, oh, a new podcast, I'll check that out. And it starts with me attempting to say, hello, everyone, welcome to another episode of Talking Games with Kelly and Andrew. And it's you just going, wah, 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 and me struggling to say our opening. What would somebody think? If this is your first episode,
hey,
what is that person going to think?
Don't click off, okay?
Don't leave.
I guess my thought would be it would be difficult to jump into a podcast at 141.
Yeah, but I feel like it wouldn't be, for us, it wouldn't be hard because we're just, it's just topical. We just report on new stuff. Like, I wouldn't, if somebody tuned in now, I've like met people who like, you know, they find out about the podcast. I'm like, oh, I'm interested in listening. Like, what should I listen? Like, you know, how? And I'm like, well, don't go to episode one. That's insane. Just start at the, you know, latest.
Is this your subtle way of telling me you'd like to redo the intro?
No, I liked the intro.
So what are we doing here?
I don't know. Now I'm just discussing. Have you listened to episode one anytime recently?
No. Probably don't. Not for like a year or
a
two.
A year?
Yeah.
It's not fun. Well, it starts with me being like, hello, everyone, and welcome to Games.
You were nervous.
I was just like quiet. Like, I'm in my closet. Nobody can hear me. I could scream. I'm not gonna, but I can. Why was I so quiet and nervous?
It's scary.
It's, you know, it's really brutal. Episode zero, which the audience, you can't listen to that. It's gone. Deleted. We did like a test thing to see if we were interested in doing this. And well, I'm recording on like the built-in microphone on the computer because I was like, I don't want to buy a microphone until I know we're doing it. And Kelly was recording on AirPod or like the headphones thing.
Turtle Beach.
No. At that point, you were literally using the microphone built into the head, like your ear. What are they called? Like just regular pods.
That's crazy.
So it sounds interesting and bad, and we sound just like so bored. Like it's not conversational, it's just like we're like objectively reading. Like it sounds like we're doing bad NPR. And now NPR would never want anything to do with us.
No, they wouldn't.
I would say that's a win though,
but
I love NPR. They're great. I don't think we'd work on there.
Not we.
If you got it, but like you could get a job at NPR probably.
Well,
without me.
I have had, anyway.
This show, it has nothing to do with you, would not work on NPR. Probably. Maybe it would.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Maybe just like a little segment during 1A. I don't know.
I just feel like we're not very factual. I mean, we report on the facts and we research and everything is well researched, but it's mostly commentary and us being, how would you put it?
We get too silly, I think.
Oh, I was going to call us buffoons, so.
I did everything right. And you know what they did? They kicked me off my show. They said, you buffooned too
you
close
buffooned.
To the sun.
Buffooned too close to the sun.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's us, except we've been buffooning next to the sun for 141 episodes, and we're going to buffoon next to the sun for 140 more. 281 is our final episode. I'm announcing it now.
That's a lot more episodes.
Yeah, but 281 is a very funny one to end on.
That would be... Yeah.
Kelly?
Yes.
We should probably talk about the news, shouldn't we?
Yes.
4A Games.
Yes.
4A Games. The studio, which you probably know as the Metro makers. They make the Metro series, Metro Exodus, Metro 2099. Is that right? Metro. 2031? 2033? 2033. Why did I triple the 33?
You were really excited.
4A Games, you might be aware, was owned by Saber Interactive, which is a publisher that was under the Embracer umbrella. And if you remember, not that long ago, Saber Interactive announced their independence. They were going to be buying their way out of Embracer, avoiding any shutdowns. But now we know that for some reason, 4A Games is not included in the deal. So 4A Games will remain a studio under Embracer. Yuck.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That's weird, right?
Yeah, it's... It is what it is. I don't know.
I guess Metro is probably, like, a guaranteed win, but... Also, they have their email addresses for the head of investor relations and the head of media and public affairs public. Should we email Oscar Erickson and ask for an interview?
Oh. Yeah.
Do you think we should?
I think it would be easier for us to email Armand Tamori since he is media and public affairs.
Yeah, but his email's not public. It just says press at Embracer.
It's further up in the article.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, at the bottom it just says press at Embracer.
If you look up and says...
Oh, I see it now.
Yeah.
Well, I could just call him. His phone number's here.
Yeah.
Why is his phone number here?
Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I'm going to call Armand Tamori. Is that how you say it?
It's probably his office number.
Yeah, but I could call it.
You could. You might get redirected.
Oh, I probably would also get charged. Don't you get charged for calling outside the country?
I actually don't know how that works anymore.
I'm not going to find out.
Sometimes
Sorry.
I'll get spam calls on my phone from, like, Great Britain. And I am like...
Do you pick up?
No. I get scared. Because what if it's the
Queen?
UK? Yeah, what if it's the... Well, calling from a grave. What if it's Prince Charles? He's also dead, right? Charles is alive. He's the king.
I don't
king
know the
right
royal
now.
Family at all. I do not know. The king is Charles, right?
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Third?
Well, you might be shocked to know that many of the royal family has resigned because they are dead. Unlike
what?
Annapurna Games, who have resigned not because they're dead, but because they just have. The entire Annapurna Games team has resigned. Pretty wild stuff.
I think this is good news. It's just shocking. Because it's like they tried to make a spinoff thing. Like, I think they just wanted to be independent from the rest of Annapurna. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy that all 25 members of this team were like, they had a blood pact, and they're like, if it doesn't work, we're leaving. That seems crazy. I can't imagine being part of a team that tight-knit and that willing to, like, bail.
That's good for them, I guess. This podcast.
Wait, so you're going to bail because I won't spin you off?
That doesn't sound right.
Why? That's what this is about. Creating...
I don't like the expression spin you off. That doesn't sound right to me.
I won't say it again. I won't say it again. I promise.
You won't spin me off?
Okay, now you're saying it again. So now I feel like it's not my fault anymore.
Oh. Well.
So you want to be spun off from from Talking Games?
No, I'm just
so
saying.
So do you want to, we have to have two separate shows, Talking Games with Andrew, Talking Games with Kelly, and they're both an hour long?
No, I'm just saying we have a blood pact that if either one of us resigns, then the other one does as well.
Resign.
From this podcast.
I feel like if this show did stop happening, resignation might not be the word.
What do you think would be the word?
I don't know.
Cataclysm?
Farewell? Cataclysm?
Apocalypse?
I feel like if the show's gonna end, the show will end someday, and I feel like when that day comes, it'll be like, we'll know it's coming. So we'll be like, oh, we'll do like 10 more or something. So wow. We'll like have a farewell landing strip versus
our,
this. Which...
Our farewell landing strip on episode 281.
Was that what that is what I said. I forgot what I had said.
That's
281's gonna be here in no time, though.
Well, it'll probably take, 3 more years.
Didn't we establish that, like, the show will end when one of us is with child?
I'm not sure that was ever established on air, but I guess now it is.
Oh, do you want me to cut that out, or do you want to make it clear that when one of us is with child, viewers, we will be without podcast?
Listeners, I fear the show may be ending because, surprise! No, I'm just kidding. Can you imagine?
I am with child.
Can you imagine if that's how I told you?
If you told me on the air, I'd be a little concerned. And also, I'd assume it was fake, because it just happened, and it was fake.
Well, I do have a child, but she's a cat, so.
I do have a child, too, but he's orange.
I did everything right, and they indicted me. That's Ben.
That's Ben? He's under criminal litigation right now.
34 counts, Ben. That's crazy. He's a felonious feline.
It's hard for us to laugh when we start with a bunch of bad news.
I know. I'm sorry. The next couple stories are not very happy. So
no.
Time to shift the mood.
Rocksteady, who you know as the developers of the Arkham series, as well as the new Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, which we all know underperformed drastically, has been said to lay people off. We don't know exact numbers, but we know at least half of the QA team was laid off, and there might be others throughout the studio, and it is directly tied to the poor performance of Suicide Squad. This sucks, because this game didn't have to fail. It was, you know, marred with a bunch of negative ideas from the get-go from the publisher, and if they hadn't done that, this probably wouldn't have happened. We probably would have had a successful game, and we wouldn't have had to lay people off.
Yeah. We've talked about it before, but it feels like layoffs in the gaming industry, it's so difficult because it feels like you go from one place and then you don't know where to go next, or I'm not really sure. I feel for these people, especially because, like you said, so many of the bad decisions and bad press were courtesy of the publisher.
The brothers of Warner.
Right. So it's hard to, like, sit there and, you know, it was like the opposite of serendipity. It was like bad.
Stupidipity.
Bad luck. Bad decisions. Oh. Bad timing. Just not so great.
I preferred what I said.
Stupidity.
I said you said serendipity, so I said stupidipity.
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 It's kind of hard to say that. I mean, it's easy to say, but like my brain is getting stuck on it.
You have to say it like you're a little kid. You have to say like stupidipity.
I don't think you can say it any other way.
Stupidipity.
Stupidipity.
Well, that sure was some stupidipity. There's more layoff news. Coming from Microsoft, who cut more than 650 jobs in their gaming division. A ton of jobs, corporate and supporting. This is a lot of people. A lot of people losing their livelihoods. So
I'm confused, because they make it sound like it's like a redundancy thing due to acquisitions, but like, that was what you did last time.
Yeah, that's just what they say to make you not feel, to make it feel like it was justified, but it never really is.
It was disingenuous the first time. The second time, it feels particularly crappy.
Yeah.
And it's like, because these aren't really development jobs. So, you know, at least video game developers were spared, I guess. But this still sucks. It's unnecessary. Like, again, Microsoft is so rich, they can afford to pay these 650 people. I know it. I know it. And I'm smart. So if I know it, then I think Phil, Mr. Spencer, Phil Spencer, he should know.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, let's stop talking about layoffs. Is that okay?
Yes.
Last episode, we talked about a new Yakuza game, new Like a Dragon game. It was called Yakuza Wars. We didn't know anything about it. We just know that they had copyrighted it, and we knew it was going to get announced soon. And we also were told we were going to see something new from RGG some point during Tokyo Game Show. Well, now we know what Yakuza Wars is. That is, it is a gacha mobile game.
What?
It's a mobile game with gacha elements. Disappointed is an understatement. I don't even know what to say. I'm just like, I'm hopeful that they still have something for Tokyo Game Show that's really surprising and that this isn't the announcement, because this was a leak.
Yeah.
If this is it.
That's tough. Yeah. That's tough.
That's not, and it's like, we just got a new Yakuza game. I'm not in a rush, but if the new Yakuza game we do get is this, I'm like, I'd rather get nothing. Genuinely, I'd rather get nothing than get this.
Yeah.
But that's how the cookie flaps.
That's how the gacha capsule opens.
That's how the gacha opens. That's how the bird flaps.
And you didn't even get a legendary. You simply got an epic. Not even a legendary.
Who do you think is going to be the most epic? Wait, is legendary better than epic?
Sure, yeah. I'm just making stuff up.
Okay. Well, then I don't know.
Wow. Well, this next news story is really fun.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm freaking out.
Are you freaking out?
I'm freaking out.
Did you guys ever play Flappy Bird? And by you guys, I mean Andrew.
I didn't know.
Well, they're re-releasing Flappy Bird. This time, it could be worse. Could be better. Could be worse. It's really a mobile game now. It's no longer just, you know, we jump through the pipes. Now we get what even looks to be some gacha mechanics. Oh, boy. Some microtransactions. Oh, boy. But you know what? You can play Flappy Bird. I have to say something.
Yeah.
So I played Flappy Bird back in 2014.
Of course.
On my iPod Touch. And I'm not going to say I was devastated when it was removed from the App Store, but it was a sad day.
Did you not still have it on your phone?
No, I don't think I did.
Okay.
Well, I didn't have an iPhone at that time.
Oh,
actually, I did. But I don't think I had Flappy Bird. Anyway, the point is, I have discovered there. So in Overwatch, you can make custom game modes, and codes can be shared in between these game modes, so like anybody can play. And someone made a version of Flappy Bird inside Overwatch called Flappy Mercy, where she has to like jump in between pipes. And I got such like a serotonin rush the first time I played Flappy Mercy, and it was like the same exact thing. And I got like all the way up to like 70, and I was like, oh my God, you guys, Flappy Mercy. And I was having so much fun.
That is the best. That's the best information I could have gotten out of this news story.
Yeah. Oh yeah. New Flappy Bird game.
Are you going to play the new Flappy Bird game then? Or only if they add a Mercy skin?
No. no.
You're not gonna? There's like levels and stuff.
No, because I feel like this is nostalgia bait.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that Flappy Bird has nostalgia attached to it to me. That seems insane.
I think people yearn for 10 years ago. They yearn for the Twee days of 2014. They yearn for like the horrible music that came out that summer. They yearn for freedom. They yearn for yarn. You know, it's just,
I think it's funny.
It is funny.
But I wonder if the creator, because the creator made so much money when it came out. Like, I remember the reports of him, you know, it probably took him 2 seconds to make that game, and he was making $50,000 a day, yeah, at least. So, like, bro was probably a millionaire by the end.
Yeah, I think he was really severely depressed, though.
Yeah. Well, he, like, took it down because he was like, I hate seeing how this is, like, absorbing people's lives. And then he went away for 10 years and now he's back. And I wonder if it's just like he was like, I didn't care that much, I guess. I just want more money now.
I don't know if he's attached to the new version.
Really? Did somebody buy it from him?
I think there's some controversy over that.
Well,
they took his baby bird and they mutilated it. They turned it into a disgusting Jurassic Park velociraptor. Born not from natural, born from amber liquid, he returns. All wrong.
Fun fact, yeah, a company called Game Tech Holdings sniped the IP trademark because the creator didn't bother to renew it. Yikes. Oh, wow, this is a different story than I expected. Things have just pivoted. That's really gross. So the creator still hates it.
Oh.
The creator's not getting any money from this.
Oh.
That he just didn't renew the copyright. Therefore, somebody else just took it.
And now they'll be making. That's like horrible.
Oh my god, this is not the story I expected. Wow. Okay, well that's terrible. Okay, don't support this. I mean, I doubt anybody was going to, but please do not download this Flappy Bird re-release. Please, leave it, let it die. That's so messed up. Wow.
We kill the Flappy Bird.
If you need to play this, just go download Overwatch and play Flappy Mercy.
Go play Flappy Mercy. Overwatch is free to play, you guys. Overwatch 2 is free to play. You can play Flappy Mercy at no cost. No.
Is that 100% for sure, though? You definitely can still?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
The only issue is that sometimes the like server that you're on isn't currently running that game.
Oh.
But if you find the Flappy Mercy code, you can just play it by yourself.
Oh. Well, I mean, do you really need friends to play Flappy Mercy?
No. And you don't. No. You don't need anybody but yourself and your own willpower and your own happiness and your own will to survive and your own strength, your own inner strength to play Flappy Mercy.
All right. That's a little intense. I think I'm going to move on to the next story.
Right.
Kelly, you know that my favorite show on television currently is Castlevania.
Right.
Probably. It's up there. What's even on TV right now? Probably this and White Lotus are probably my favorite shows on TV.
What's on TV right now?
Exactly. Everything I watch is like off TV now.
Yeah, summer's not usually big for TV. Fall is.
Oh, I just mean at all. Like actively running shows. Like shows that exist that aren't over or canceled. Like Castlevania and White Lotus are probably my two favorite like
shows. What about Fallout? You like Fallout, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't compare to Castlevania for me. I love Castlevania with a deep passion.
Is there a Flappy Trevor? Or a Flappy Alucard?
Castlevania Nocturne. It's the sequel series to Castlevania. Sorry, Kelly. I'm not playing your games. Castlevania Nocturne is the sequel series to Castlevania. We got our first season last year. I was kind of big time hoping that we got the second season this fall. It's just such a perfect fall show. But we finally got confirmation that season 2 is coming out in January. Obviously, I'm a tiny bit disappointed it isn't this fall, but January is not that far away. It'll be here in just a blink. And we got a tiny little teaser, just a snippet, which is perfect for me because I don't want to watch a real trailer. I don't need to know what's happening. I'm just going to go in blind. But this teaser really doesn't give you anything. It's just like blinks of all the characters and like an idea of what they're going to be like. Technically, there's, you know, the big reveal of this trailer, which we already knew about, is Alucard's return. Which makes sense because Alucard is old man. He can live long time. So him being in the original series and the sequel series makes perfect sense. His redesign looks insane because if you've seen the original Castlevania series, he does not look the same anymore. His design has been pretty drastically overhauled to match the style of Symphony of the Night. I'm absolutely over the moon for this. It looks incredible. Well, I guess there's really nothing here. I just loved the first season so much. They did the same thing with season 1 of this as they did with the original series, which is it was less of like, it was more of a prologue, you know, it was kind of setting up the characters so that they could properly go into the narrative in the second season. I just really think this is a magical series and I can't recommend it highly enough. Don't start with Nocturne. You should start with the original because it's more satisfying that way. But by the time, if you start around now, you'll probably be ready for that January release.
Wow. January release. That's interesting.
I'm I'm so excited. I'm so excited. What?
So maybe could we go back to my original question? Is there a Flappy?
There's not, no.
But if Alucard...
Alucard could turn into a bat?
So he could be Flappy!
Alucard doesn't turn into a bat. He turns into a panther.
Who turns into a wolf? Dracula?
Oh, wolf. What did I say?
Panther.
Oh, he turns into a wolf. I wonder, can he turn? I should know this. I'm a Castlevania. I like Castlevania, but... can Alucard...
In Dead by Daylight, Dracula can turn into a wolf, and he chases you, and it's scary. And you're like,
can Alucard beat Goku? Can Alucard walk in the sun? And can Alucard survive sunlight?
Oh, all valid into, questions.
Bat.
I don't think he could beat Goku.
He can turn into a company of bats, yeah.
So. I don't think he could beat Goku.
But he can turn into bats, so he could flap.
He could flap all the way to the Tokyo Games show.
Oh, that's a good question. It's Tokyo Game Show. This is just like Summer Game Fest.
I said Tokyo Game Show.
Uh-huh. Tokyo Game Show sounds more natural than Summer Game Fest.
Tokyo Game Show. But it makes you think of like Wheel of Fortune. It's the Tokyo Game Show. Xbox will be hosting the live stream on September 26th, which is next week. Everybody, next Thursday. Well, yeah, next Thursday. Everybody strap in. Starts at 6 a.m. So, you know, for us, it starts at 6 a.m. For all you California folk, it starts at 9. So, you know, clock into work and watch some Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah, I'll not be watching this live.
Yeah, obviously. Me neither. But, you know, I've heard there's going to be a few things there. You know, Dragon Age is going to be there.
Really?
Yeah. I don't really? Know why. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I don't think there's a huge market for it, but they're going to be
there.
Well,
like, I get this being there because it's not actually being there. It's just running a broadcast at the same time.
Right.
But Dragon Age is going to be there?
Right, yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, that's
right. I just hope we get some. This could be cool because, and like, screw Xbox. We talked about their layoffs earlier. But the thing, the direct selfish benefit to me is they're talking mostly about Japanese games. Hopefully we get some really cool Japanese games coming to Game Pass. That'd be my hope. Some cool play it day one on Game Pass Ultimate, right? That's the one, right?
I could not tell you anymore what they are.
Game Pass Standard doesn't have day one anymore.
Correct. And correct!
Game Pass Ultimate does. Game Pass Ultimate is the thing I just bought 3 years of, right? Yeah.
With your devious methods?
It's not... Well, it's gone. You can't do that anymore. It just changed, but my methods were not devious. I just used cdkeys.com, and I bought...
I'm thinking
3 years
that
of Game Pass.
I'm thinking that if you were able to do it and you no longer are, maybe.
Well, it's because those tiers don't exist anymore. Is why.
Okay.
Because they changed how Game Pass worked.
Right. Right.
You could probably still do it, but no. I bought 3 years. It was like 2 years and six, 3 months, 4 months or something. Because I think I had it till.
Hey, FBI, this one right here.
Okay.
This little Flappy Bird right here, flapping all over the place.
Don't call me that. So you can still buy it. I don't know how that'll work then. I don't know if the code was like when that becomes invalid. I would recommend doing heavy research if you're still interested in that method. But I got mine to last. Mine, I paid like $200, which is a lot of money, but my Game Pass is going to last till June of 2026.
Wow. 27?
What year is it?
24. So if you bought 2 years, you get it till 26. But you bought like 2.5 years, so 27.
This is not pertinent or important, but now I have to know. The audience is probably shaking in their boots because they're like, Andrew, when is your Game Pass expiring? I can hear them on the other end of the line.
Me too. I can hear their cries. The people yearn for the Flappy Bird.
My Game Pass ends in June of 2027.
Wow.
Jeez.
Wowie, zowie.
I don't remember buying that much. Anyway, I'm excited to see this showcase just because it could have some cool Game Pass releases. But since we're talking about 2027, we might as well talk about PlayStation 6. Right, Kelly?
No!
We're already starting PS6 talks. We heard that AMD has beat Intel in a fight. Intel and AMD got in the ring. They took their gloves off. They took off their cups. They made it a pure...
Cup?
Yeah, like for protection of...
Oh my God. What's wrong with you?
A lot of things. It became a pure mano a mano fight. Anyway, AMD and Intel were both reportedly bidding, trying to get their chipset to be the one included on PlayStation 6. AMD is the current supplier. It would be a huge, massive shakeup for them to lose to Intel for PS6. Reportedly, the biggest reason that PlayStation 6 will stick with AMD is because of backwards compatibility concerns. This makes me slightly comforted. I feel like PlayStation will forever do backwards compatibility now because consoles are not actually upgrades. They're more incremental. But yeah, we're already sitting here talking about PS6. It's funny getting PS6 news before we get Switch 2 news.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I would only hope that, you know, there's not a global pandemic happening and everybody can buy the PS6 when they want and that it's not so super expensive, right? Because they wouldn't overcharge for a console over
for a PlayStation
Sony.
Console?
Come on.
No.
Not like the PS5 Pro, which is coming out this holiday. I will tell you a few things that it has. And that is nothing. It doesn't come with a vertical stand, sold separately, or a disk drive. And it is... I'm not going to ask you to guess because you can see and you put the link there so you already know. It is $700 for the PS5 Pro, which does not bode for the PS6. And this might be the biggest scam of all time.
Well, Kelly,
we need to get a full-scale federal investigation. I need the FTC, the FCC, the FBI, the FDA, the USDA, the CIA. I need all of them on this case right now.
The TK WGA?
Yeah.
The TG.
TG, the Tokyo K-A. Game Show. Yes.
No, the TG WKA.
GWK, the Talking Games with Kelly and Andrew. Yes.
Yeah. I've never shortened that in my life.
I know, that was really rough. that was really beating me. All right, everybody.
Well, Kelly, guess what percentage faster, how much faster percentage-wise the memory is on the PlayStation 5 Pro, which is the biggest adjustment.
You have to tell me.
I want you to guess what percentage. For $700.
40.
What? I wish you were right. It's 28%. Did you? You didn't watch this keynote, did you?
No, of course not. What do I look like? A bootlicker?
Me?
Oh.
I watched it.
What do I look like? Some kind of Flappy Bird? What are we? Some kind of Flappy Bird squad?
Okay, why are we still talking about Flappy Bird? Flappy Bird's going to run amazing on PS5 Pro. No, Kelly, the most of the keynote, they were like showing side-by-side of games. And, well, one, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference for most of them. I was just like, that's the same footage, back-to-back.
Right.
That's straight up side-by-side, the same exact footage. And then most of the stuff they showed was PS4 games. Like, they showed a ton of God of War Ragnarok, PS4. Horizon Forbidden West, PS4. Last of Us Part 2, PS4 from 2020. Come on, guys. You're releasing a console in 2024 and you're using a 2020 game from a previous generation of console to promote it? That's dumb. Who is going to be like, oh, that Last of Us Part 2 footage looks amazing. I need this thing.
Why wouldn't they use, like, Astrobot?
Because Astrobot runs perfectly. Because PS5 is perfectly strong and doesn't need more.
Oh, I see the point you're making.
Astrobot looks perfect. PS5 runs Astrobot perfectly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And Astrobot could have run on PS4.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, it's not good.
What's
the average sales tax in America? Like 7%?
I don't know.
Okay, so it's $700 for the console. Plus, you're going to buy the vertical stand, so that's $30. Plus, you're going to buy the disc drive, which is $80. So that's $810 times 0.07 plus 810. The PlayStation 5 Pro, if you buy it in its complete form, with tax, is going to cost you a cool $866.70 if you have 7% tax.
That is chump change for us here on Talking Games with Kelly and Andrew, because we're rolling in it.
Oh.
From all of our sponsorships.
Oh.
With Flappy Bird. I'm just joking. Oh. I'm joking. That's not real.
I don't want to buy this.
We have special benefactors.
Do we? Do you have benefactors and I don't know about them?
We have special benefactors that I'm contractually obligated not to name.
But I don't get any benefit. Are you just getting paid by somebody for this show?
I'll mute.
Okay, they can't hear us right now. You can tell me we're off air right now.
Why do you think I've mentioned Flappy Bird so much in this episode? You think that was a coincidence? I am contractually obligated to say the words Flappy Bird at least 600 times in the next for this full episode. Okay.
Can I join?
No.
But I'll take like 10% of the pay.
10%.
What do you think's fair?
Like 2.
Okay. How many times
have you said Flappy Bird? How many times have you even thought about the words Flappy Bird?
Okay, but how many times once we come back on air, I can start saying it and I'll be really organic about it.
Yeah, definitely. So just like me, I've been organic about it.
Yeah. So how many times do I have to say it for my 2%?
Oh, probably like 200.
200 times between like how many episodes?
This episode.
So for the rest of this episode, I have to say Flappy Bird 197 times.
Yeah.
Because I've already said it thrice.
But we're not on air right now. Right.
No, I meant, but I was talking about it before.
Right. Yeah, that's
so
right.
So 197 right. More times, right, to hit my 200 quota.
Right. So good luck.
Okay. Can we go? So when we go back on air, I'm going to be really, like organic about it.
Yeah.
I just need you. Like, can you just kind of go with my flow? You know.
Yeah. You know, I'm like exhausted. This episode is really taking it out of me. So like.
Okay. Yeah, I really hate this show's. Not fun. neither of us have enjoyed it for 140 episodes.
Yeah, so like, can we just like wrap it up?
Yeah, we'll go really fast. The audience doesn't.
Our silly audience.
Our audience is so dumb.
Come on.
Don't laugh at them, Kelly. Okay, and I'm gonna cut back in now.
Okay, we're cutting back in now. We're not muted anymore. Starting now.
So yeah, the PS5 Pro seems kind of dumb, but you know what seems really smart to me? It like crossed my mind that Flappy Bird game,
right?
That Flappy Bird, Flappy Bird seems like a really just like, you know, when you think about Flappy Bird, it's Flappy Bird just seems really cool, and like the way that Flappy Bird really revolutionized the Flappy Bird industry,
right?
Like
when he flapped those wings and he became the little Flappy Bird.
Off air, does that count?
Flap?
Do you have to say the whole title, or can you just say flap and bird?
Let me look at the sheet they sent me.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Flap, fold, wing, fly, flew, bird, avian. These are all acceptable.
Okay, so I could just, as long as I mention those words, I'm good.
Andrew, I don't like this bit anymore.
Well, you're the one who took the sponsorship. All right, let's cut back in. Let's cut back in. Ready?
Right, right. Now we're cutting back in.
It's just, I just feel like this show could really soar.
Like that wasn't one of the words.
Avian.
Okay. That's one of the words. I just want to set the record straight. We have not been paid by any benefactors, Kelly, especially not the Flappy Bird.
We
people.
Never have been.
Right. Andrew, did you play
Kelly,
anything?
That's not in the show, so they don't know. So we can go back to normal. They don't know. Okay?
Right. Okay.
Yep. Okay. Cut back in.
Andrew?
Yeah. Hi, Kelly.
Have you played anything this week?
Yeah, I played a lot of Flappy. No.
That was close.
We're talking about PlayStation. They released a new video game the same day that Concord passed away. They released Astrobot, which is a new single-player 3D platformer starring your boy Astro. May have played Astro's Playroom. It was included on your PS5. Excellent, excellent game. This is basically that, but fleshed out a whole bunch. It's not a super long game, so right from the get, I'll say I 100% of this game. I did everything you could, and it only took
me
about 12 hours.
You did everything right. And they still indicted me. I'm sorry.
They did indict me because I only played 12 hours of this game. So it's not a long game. If you're playing it and you're kind of like, you have any sort of completionist tendencies, you're probably going to do everything just playing through the story. Like you're going to finish levels and then want to turn around and do them again if you missed anything. And also if you like miss stuff, it's really easy to grab them because PlayStation has like its hint feature, which I feel like is an extremely underused thing. Like when's the last time you used the hint feature on your PS5?
The what?
Well, there you go. There's a hint feature. Like you press the PlayStation button and in like the home menu, there'll be hints for certain games.
Really?
And I feel like there's very few games that utilize it. Only like first party games use it some, but not a lot. But it's really nice for Astrobot because you miss like one little bot. The whole point of the game is you're playing that little, your little robotic guy, and you're trying to rescue 300 little robotic guys that flew off of your ship. Your ship is a PlayStation 5 because it's cute. It's meta. So you're trying to run through all these levels. There's 50 levels, collecting those guys, saving them, whether that some of them are being like attacked by enemies. Some are just like stuck in a tree. Some are stuck in a snowman. Like it's very cute. And a bunch of them are references to other video games. So, like, you'll be running around and, ooh, that one looks like Ratchet and Clank. Ooh, that one looks like Kratos. Ooh, that one looks like Nathan Drake. If you have an appreciation for video games in general, especially PlayStation games, this game is going to have you smiling a whole bunch because the references are really adorable and they have some really deep cuts as far as, like, games being represented. And you can use coins that you gather at a little gacha machine. Don't worry, it's not like you're not going to pay microtransactions. The gacha machine just gives you accessories that you can apply to those different characters. So, like, for example, like Chris Redfield is in the game. There's a little Chris Redfield. It's adorable. And his accessory is a typewriter, like from Resident Evil 1. And then you go over to him in the little hub area, and he's trying to figure it out. And he's, like, walking around. He's, like, bonking it and punching it.
Oh, my God, because he's so stupid.
He's so stupid, he can't figure out how to use the typewriter.
No,
it's very cute. There are so many references. Some of them are really deep cuts. Some of them, like, were really, to me, I love them a lot. I really highly recommend this game, though. If you like 3D platformers at all, it's very fun to play. I think the length is good because this game doesn't have the most expressive movement system in the world. And by that, I mean, like, I refer to expressive movement as something like Super Mario Odyssey, where the way the mechanics kind of flow together, you can kind of be creative about how you move around this world and how you solve different solutions. This game is not that. It is a lot more like something like Super Mario 3D World, which is like a linear platformer where there are correct solutions for everything. There's no way to like creatively jump. You jump very similarly all the time. Your moveset is usually just jump, and then you can do like a glide with your little laser feet, and then you can punch, and that's just about it. And sometimes you can get little add-ons, so you'll get like little fists that look like snakes, or you get a jetpack that looks like a big chicken, and a bunch of other things that I'm not going to bother spoiling because the fun of exploring all that is super cool. I think if it was any longer, I would have started to get a little bit worn out on it, I think, but because it was so fast-paced and it was short, I had a great time start to finish. And like this game, I benefit from the fact that I have like a pretty deep, vast knowledge of like video games and niche series. So I was able to appreciate most of the references, but there were even some I didn't know. There are games I found out about through this, and I think that's really cool. It also encouraged me to play a couple games. Like, I downloaded Ape Escape on my PS5, and I downloaded Loco Roco, games I haven't played before, but they're included on my PlayStation Plus subscription, and I feel like it's a fun little history lesson. I think the biggest negative of this game is that there's a lot of references to games that make me angry, because those series are dead. It's like, oh, look at this Sly Cooper. And I'm like, you let him die. Look at this Jack and Daxter. And I'm like, dead. There's so many series in this that are like, I don't know, they have the care enough to put the reference in this game, but like, those series are dead. And it really sucks. And I just hate that, you know, it just sucks. It just sucks. Is it that? Do I have to say more?
No.
It just really, it kind of hurts to see some of that old stuff being represented here, and just aware that PlayStation does not care about those series at all. And they let Team Asobi, who does care, put representation. So at least they're not, you know, forgotten on us. And like I said, I downloaded those games on my PS5, and I bet there's going to be a good number of people who do the same. You know, a lot of people are going to find out about these games and want to learn more. And I think that that could be the biggest benefit. It's kind of like the Super Smash Brothers effect, you know? When a character gets added to Super Smash Brothers, everybody's like, ooh, and they find out more about it, and that series can kind of grow, and there's a lot of cool stuff, but I don't think PlayStation will take that to heart, just based on the fact that, you know, what they're bad at making video games these days.
Yeah.
So, but are you going to play this game, do you think, Ellie, or no?
The man who lives in his house is playing this game currently. So
you're seeing these, yeah, you're seeing these references as he goes.
Yeah, he was showing me all the little guys. I saw the little Joel and Ellie. They're really cute. Oh. The little Ellie one was so cute.
The Ellie one is so cute.
And the little Bloodborne guy. Oh my god!
You can dress up as a little Bloodborne guy. You can get a costume.
I might play it.
Should play it.
I'm sort of, you know, ramping up for something.
Well, it's short, so you can play it before the Ages of Dragons.
That is true.
I highly recommend this game if you like 3D platformers, if you like PlayStation, if you like video game history. They're all worth it. If you're not going to play this game and you do care about video game history, look at all the bots. Like, look up a YouTube video that just has all of the bots in it, because they are so gosh darn cute. They are so adorable. I really appreciate it. And Team Asobi clearly has a lot of love in their heart for video games. It saddens me that this is like the biggest PlayStation IP outside of live service stuff that they care about right now. I guess God of War, Ghost of Tsushima, and Last of Us are the other ones that they care about. But this little guy just has so much heart behind him, and like, I really appreciate what they do. And at the end of each set of planets, you get to play like a special level that's based on a certain character or a certain series, and it kind of changes up the gameplay a little bit. And if you care about those series at all, those levels are so cool. They're so fun and packed full of love, and you get cool remixes of theme songs that you do know. So you're gonna have a great time playing through this game, anybody who enjoys it. That's my Astrobot review, though. I played, like I said, 100%. Did everything. Got every bot. Got every accessory. Every costume. The whole thing. Got the platinum trophy.
The whole nine yards.
The whole nine yards. Hey, do you know who's in this in Astrobot?
Who?
Solid Snake.
I did see his little bot hiding under the box.
Do you know another game? Do you know a game that has Snake in it?
Could it be Super Smash Brothers?
That's correct. Wow. But also Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes, which audience might be like, wait, Andrew, I thought you were playing Metal Gear Solid 2. You're right. I will do that. I promise. At some point, I will do that to prep for Metal Gear Solid Delta, the remake of 3. But me and my friends, the same friends I was playing Final Fantasy 13 with, decided the next game we were going to play was going to be Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes, which is the GameCube remake of Metal Gear Solid 1 in the Metal Gear Solid 2 engine. Having just played Metal Gear Solid 1, it was very interesting because it's basically one-to-one as far as gameplay is concerned. Only one room was like laid out differently, and that was because they just took out the loading screens, because there was multiple loading screens in the room with the Metal Gear in it. They took that out, so it was just one fluid room. The rest of the game is basically exactly as it was. The only thing that has changed is cutscenes and visuals. So obviously it looks quite a bit more graphically intensive than the PlayStation 1 version, which is very chunky. I don't think it necessarily looks better. I think the original PlayStation 1 game obviously is kind of chunky, but it has a lot of like deliberate design decisions. And some of those are kind of lost here. Like the music is not as good. But I do think it was kind of fun to experience these story cutscenes again because they're way more polished. There's a lot more fun, goofy things going on in it, which makes it feel like the way Metal Gear would eventually go. They added like Snake jumping over a missile and Snake jumping over a doorframe, like doing a backflip over a doorframe so he didn't get spotted. And I'm like, that's a little silly. But it's stuff I really appreciated. I think if you are looking to get into the series, you should just play the first game. You don't need to play Twin Snakes, and it's not a better version. The gameplay is like a tiny bit smoother in some places, but the original is pretty deliberate. So I think if you have an interest in the series, just start with one. Don't worry about Twin Snakes. Plus, it's really inaccessible. It's only on GameCube. So, you know, my friend happened to have a copy, so we plugged in my old Wii and are playing it on that, which is funny. Whee! But, I don't really recommend it that highly. It was fine. It's fine. I mean, but I'd recommend the first game more. And even just having started Metal Gear Solid 2, it feels like that game is clearly directed by Kojima, whereas Twin Snakes is not directed by Kojima. So there are some weird design decisions that I'm like, Kojima wouldn't have done that. But it was fun to play, and it was fun to re-experience those cutscenes. Maybe if you do have an interest in this, after having played the first, I would recommend maybe watching the cutscenes, and then you could skip all the codec calls, because the codec calls are one for one, and they also like are still have like the still the illustrations versus 3D models. They didn't update those for this, and I think it was like a style thing. But if you do have an interest in seeing this, I would just watch like the full cutscenes. I don't regret playing it, but. And then I played one other thing that I did not finish, and I'm looking forward to talking about this with Kelly to get her opinion. So Persona 3 Reload came out earlier this year, and we knew we were getting the Episode Aegis DLC, The Answer, as part of the $35 expansion pass, which, full clarity, I did not pay for. It is included on Game Pass Ultimate. I started that DLC. It came out this last week, came out on Friday, right? Thursday? Came out last week.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Between episodes, I have started that. And right off the bat, I am very intrigued by the story because it's an epilogue. So it tells you what happens after Persona 3 because Persona 3 kind of leaves a lot of threads unresolved and a lot of question marks raised by how it ends. This seems like it's going to be resolving those question marks in a more satisfying manner. I can't vouch for how satisfying it is because I have not finished it. Kelly might be able to. But the gameplay loop of this is you go into a dungeon, very similar to the Persona 3 base game dungeons, and then you finish the dungeon and you have some story happen, and then you go back in the dungeon and you do it again, and then you leave and there's story, and then you're back in the dungeon, and then there's story, and then there's dungeon. And you might say to yourself, well, that just sounds like a standard JRPG. But I feel, personally, that Persona kind of thrives off of the other elements as well. The social sim elements, the spending time with your friends, the story that happens unrelated to the main thrust of the narrative. I think that those things really carry the game. And when you strip those out, there's a lot more weight placed on the gameplay. And I do think that this is a good game with fun turn-based RPG combat. However, I have the downside of having just played Shin Megami Tensei V, which is made by the same people. And that game, I would argue, has the best combat of this entire series. I'd consider them in the same series to some extent. And that game is basically like just gameplay, you know? The story's there, but you're there for the gameplay. And it benefits strongly from that. And this feels like it's going for the same thing. This DLC feels like it's going for gameplay focus, but Persona 3 has worse combat than Shin Megami Tensei 5. It's slower. It's not as deep. There's just not as much going on. So I have found myself 5 hours in, just a little bored. And I'm going to finish it, but there's a decent chance I might be setting it to very easy and just blasting through because I'm really invested in the story. I'll give them that. I really want to know where the story's going to go. The new character thus far, I find very annoying. But maybe that'll change. Will it change, Kelly?
Do you really want me to tell you?
Is she going to be this annoying the whole time?
No.
She's really annoying.
No.
Okay. There was this, we were running through the dungeon and Metis, the new character, refers to Aegis as her sister. And she just kept yelling, "You're my sister. Aegis is my sister. That's my sister." Not like over time, like in one thing. And I was like, can you like stop talking? It's just very, she's barking a lot. And yeah, she's kind of annoying.
I don't know how much they've changed for episode Aegis versus The Answer. I think obviously like Reload on a gameplay level is radically different than Persona 3 FES was.
Yeah.
And I think with the quality of life improvements that they added, they also added, you know, the difficulty of the game has gone down significantly. I think that that tends to make gameplay a little bit boring. I think that The Answer itself is just a little too long also. I think the story of The Answer is really interesting. I like what the characters have to go through, and I like seeing those characters, you know. I really don't want to spoil 3 right now, but I will say that seeing what these characters look like outside of the context of the original game is very entertaining to me, and that's, and that is stuff that I like to see. But yeah, I can't imagine that the gameplay is like honestly all that thrilling.
It is harder than the original, like the base game. It's a quite a bit harder right off the get.
Right, but that's how The Answer was too for the journey back in FES. Is The Answer was significantly harder, and there were, I don't know, just different mechanics back then. Maybe not different mechanics, but the mechanics were a little bit more complicated back then. Maybe more like esoteric. You know, you weren't telling, you didn't get a little UI pop up every time somebody was weak to something that you had, like that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm sure the quality of life stuff, like I probably couldn't have endured this if it was the PlayStation 2 version.
Yeah.
But like, and I've heard that, like, that's kind of like a meme in the Persona community that people have, nobody's finished The Answer. Like most people who play Persona 3 gave up on The Answer.
Yeah. I think I have just a lot of like entrenched bitterness because I feel like while The Answer is important to the story, I think that there are other aspects of Persona 3 that they could have adapted successfully as a part of this, what is meant to be a complete package of the game. So I think I just have sort of an innate bitterness about that because I just don't really care that much about.
I presume you're talking about the female protagonist.
Yeah.
I feel like they still might do that. I feel like there's a chance in a couple years they're going to release Persona 3 Reload Redux or something and include this and include the female protagonist.
I do think it's interesting that they are so adamant that they will never be able to do that.
Yeah, but I don't know if I trust them. They might, money might talk. I think like maybe this DLC sales might influence that. If this DLC sells really well, they might be more inclined.
I'd be interested to see what Persona 6 looks like in terms of, I mean, anything really, but
I mean, I think we're getting closer to the point where we'll see that. I think once, because this is now done, Persona 3 is a wrapped up, sealed away package, and Metaphor comes out in like a month, which that's the other thing. This coming out a month before Metaphor, I'm like, I've been looking at that game and it looks so good and so mechanically interesting, and I'm playing this and I'm like, yikes. And I think the other thing is, I didn't pay for it. Mm-hmm. And we've had like, not heated, but we've had discussions, intense discussions about the price point of Persona 3 Reload. I still believe that 70 was fine. I think they put in a lot of work. They did all the voice acting. They redid every asset. You know, the only thing they didn't have to do was like write the story. They did a lot of work. So 70, I think maybe 60 would have been a little better, but I didn't mind the $70. This DLC being $35 additional is bad. That's intensely bad in my opinion for how little genuine content there is.
Yeah, I like, would agree.
I get that it's like 30 hours long because you're grinding through all these dungeons, but grinding through dungeons is not content, you know?
Yes.
There's nothing novel or exciting about that.
Yeah, and you're also factoring in everything that came before it. It's not like the DLC is like...
The other stuff was just like cosmetic stuff.
Right.
That means nothing to me.
Right.
They're talking about the expansion pass. They shouldn't call it that because it's just episode Aegis with a couple bonuses.
Right.
And the one perk is that I like the new battle theme. It's like a remix of the original Persona 3 battle theme, and I think it's pretty nice. But I was getting bored of it pretty quick because of how boring this loop is, so I switched the songs to shuffle because that expansion pass included a bunch of Persona 4 and 5 songs and like from spinoffs and all this stuff. So every battle I've been going into has had like different music, and I think that's helped a bit. But that doesn't undo. It's still not an expansion pass. It's a DLC with some perks on it, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I might set it to very easy and do the Joker fight because I've heard that it's a really interesting fight. Like they did a lot of interesting work to make this boss fight. Does not justify the price. I want to make it clear nothing will change my opinion on the price. I think that this should have been, I think realistically, it should have been $70 for everything.
Yeah.
I got mad. I got mad. I don't know what press person said this, but they were saying the other day that they're like, yeah, we decided that we were going to do the answer because of how well Persona 3 Reload was received. And I'm like, that is a lie. That is a lie. This did not get done in 6 months. Just because of the amount of voice acting and added stuff in this, this was getting produced. And it was announced right after Persona 3 Reload. So this was absolutely in development, if not finished, before Persona 3 Reload came out. So I think they probably should have just postponed Persona 3 Reload to, like, now if they had to, or June or whenever, and just included this as part of it. And I think the $70 would have made a lot more sense. And I think I wouldn't have even thought twice about the answer, you know? But right now I'm like, I'm okay with it because I didn't have to pay for it. It was included in a service I already pay for. So I didn't really think about it. But $35 is that's a crazy expensive DLC.
Yes.
The Elden Ring DLC was only $5 more.
Yes.
And that was like one of the best DLCs ever made.
Yes.
So I will continue playing it. Like I said, I'm pretty, right now I've just been playing on normal mode because I'm like, I don't want to like hurt myself with challenge on this. But I might just set it to very easy and go really fast, like skip all the fights. How easy is very easy?
I don't know. I've never played on very easy. I imagine it's very easy.
I imagine it's very easy, but I don't know if it's like, is it like basically like you can't lose?
I don't know. Yeah, probably.
It's because that sounds kind of nice.
It
sounds like very easy is very easy.
I think I'm so sorry. I yawned as soon as I started talking. I think when I very first played Persona 3 Portable, I played it on very easy. And it was too easy.
Was the combat just like nothing?
Yeah. It wasn't like nothing. Obviously, there were still like resistances and stuff, but it wasn't, you know, I wouldn't spend very long on, if there were a boss fight, I wasn't spending very long on it. It felt like the length of a regular fight.
It sounds like you might like not even die on very easy mode.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm probably okay. What I'll probably do is stick to normal. And then if I get even a little bit exasperated with what I'm going through, I'm going to switch it off. Cause 30 hours is a long, like that's a full length game. That's a long full length game.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm particularly interested in that.
Yeah. Especially when a big game's coming out pretty soon.
What's coming out pretty soon? Dragon Age?
Yeah.
I'll be done. Well, you're not going to play this, are you?
No.
I was going to say, because you don't have the service, so you'd be paying $35. That sounds crazy.
I have Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, but you don't have Ultimate. It's only included on Ultimate, not PC Game Pass. Which, I mean, maybe you have Ultimate. Do you have Ultimate?
No.
Yeah, so you don't have it, sorry.
I actually can't even see what I have.
Who knows? I guess I can make a promise for something I'm going to play before next week.
Oh.
Something's coming out tomorrow, Kelly. Well, on day of release. It's out now.
Oh.
Plucky Squire.
Oh.
I'm really excited. It's on PlayStation Plus, so I don't have to pay for that one either. And it's the same price as Episode, I guess.
Yeah,
so I'll use that as a direct comparison potentially, because I'll probably finish Episode I guess. No, I shouldn't say that. I might finish Episode I guess before next episode, but Plucky Squire is going to be the priority. Because I want to finish that before Zelda comes out. I'm very excited, though. I'm looking forward to seeing what that game holds. I think it looks really magical, really fun, and adorable. So I look forward to telling the audience what I think of this one.
Yes.
So, and by next week, Kelly will be playing Dragon Age.
Oh my god, don't even say that.
It's like not a good joke, because you're going to have it in like 6 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Because it comes out on a Thursday.
Yeah, not till 12 p.m.
How many days away is October 31st?
It's like 40-something.
She was quiet. She didn't say it, but it's 45 days.
Yep. Yep,
that's
yep.
That's exciting. From right to day of recording, it's 45 days. If you're listening on day of release, it's 44 days away.
Yeah. There has been more stuff from IGN, more Dragon Age stuff.
Like what?
More gameplay. They showed off some mage gameplay and rogue gameplay.
Ooh.
A few more story things. We got to see the main hub that our characters are going to be staying in for the duration of the game.
This game's not open world?
No, they say that you can explore, but that it's more focused than Inquisition was, which is good because Inquisition was trying to be an open world game, but it was too much. It was really bloated. So they say that they're taking more of a focused approach where it's like you go to a place and you do the story quests there. And then you can do the side quests as well that are there. And from what it looks like, I mean, it looks like there are still a significant amount of side quests, which is good for me because I like doing side quests in Dragon Age games because they really they add to the world. It's most of it. There is some world component, lore component, barring a few in like Inquisition that were really just a waste of time, but that's okay.
I mean, I think going not open world is a good idea.
I agree. I think that this game always needed to be more focused.
Inquisition is the only open world one, right?
Yeah, you could. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I think it sounds more like, so it kind of sounds more like the way they've described it. Not as linear as 2, but more linear than Inquisition. It sounds to me a little bit more like Origins, where you would go to an area of your choice at the time that you wanted to, and then you would do, there was like a main quest there, and then there were side quests there, but everything was sort of related to each other.
And then when you left that area, is it kind of like you leave it behind?
Yeah, or you could return if you don't finish all the side quests at once. Like,
honestly, knowing it's not open world has greatly increased my interest, genuinely.
Yeah. Like, for example, there's a forest area in Origins where you go and you make contact with a group of people, and then there's like one or two side quests there that are with those groups of people, and then you go further into the forest to follow like the main story quest there. So it kind of sounds like that's going to be what's happening here. There's actually like the preview embargo lifts on this upcoming Thursday. So
is that full game? Do you know like how much that preview will entail?
7 hours of the game. So these people,
that's a lot.
Influencers and gaming journalists and, you know, lots of people, 140 people were invited to play the game. They got 7 hours of gameplay and they are allowed to talk about it starting on Thursday. So it's a little nerve-wracking because I feel like I've been spoiled a lot with this game already just based on BioWare's marketing.
Are you trying to decide where to draw the line?
Yeah, so I'm trying to decide, do I want to see previews? Do I want to hear people's thoughts? Because there are people that I trust that I'd like to hear from, but I'm also like, I really don't want anyone else's experience to color my own. The thing that I'm most curious about is the character creator. We've seen at this point, because everything else to me feels too spoilery. We've seen some of the custom characters that you can make. And like, I mean, I really want to see the options. I think they should pull a Dragon's Dogma 2 and release the character creator as a demo early. Because imagine how fun
that'd
it would
be a really good idea.
If you got to do that early and then your character was all designed and you can just start the game on the 31st at 12 p.m. Eastern and just get into it instead of spending like 2 hours in the character creator. I think that they would be awesome.
Yes, they should absolutely do that.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, maybe that's something that they'll announce later down the line. I don't know. Or maybe they won't do it at all. That's fine. But yeah, so what I've seen is very exciting. Like I said, it's a little spoilery for me right now, so I'm trying not to engage as much as I have been because I don't want to be spoiled further. But
44 days is a long time to not look at stuff, though.
I know, especially like the way the algorithm works. Even if I actively go out of my way to like mute people who talk about it, other people who are talking about it will pop up because the algorithm knows that I like to look at those people. So.
That's why I don't use the algorithm versions. When I'm on like Twitter, it's only what I follow.
Yeah. So I'm trying
to be... And on YouTube, when I see stuff, I try to tell it, like, don't show me that.
Yes. Trying to be savvy. So, but yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I'm way more excited. I mean, I feel like every... I'm well excited. I feel like I get more excited every time they release a new piece of something. There have been a few things here and there that I'm like a little wary of. There's like a certain character design that I'm like... don't love. The Qunari, I think, looks a little bit weird, but I very rarely play Qunari, so and then like just how spoilery the coverage has been, I don't love. I think that BioWare is really trying to appeal to new players such as yourself, Andrew.
I mean, it's kind of working.
Yeah, which is why they're being a lot more forthcoming with like, here's the main villains of the game, and here's what they want to do, and this is what you're doing in this quest. And it's like, whoa.
Which is funny because I haven't looked at any of it because I'm like, if I'm interested, I want to go in pretty blind.
Yeah.
So
it's a very interesting world to go into blind, but you do have the benefit of someone who knows a lot.
Everything.
So, you know. So, yeah. But I haven't really played anything new. I'm almost finished with my Dragon Age Summer, you know, run through to the finish line. I started Inquisition. Isn't fall in
a few days?
What?
Isn't fall in a few days?
Oh, I just mean in the sense that I would like to get a full playthrough of Origins 2 and Inquisition done before Veilguard comes out. Which I will, I do believe I will be able to accomplish because I'm about halfway through Inquisition now.
Did you already do the other two?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, I thought you did two of them, and then you started talking about Inquisition, I got confused.
To me, I've played these games so many times, I've really streamlined the process. The first one takes a long time, because it's a meaty game. The second one takes a lot less time, because like I said, I've like really streamlined it. I think I've optimized the way that I play these games. And then Inquisition is kind of like a do-it-yourself, like it can be however long you want it to be, or however short, because... if you don't do any of the side content in Inquisition, it's not a very long game. But I like to do the side content because, like I said, a lot of it does help flesh out the world and the lore and the characters. So
I'm very excited for it to come out, not even for me, because I'm like on the fence with a leaning of not playing it just because of how much is coming out, not because anything to do with that game. But I'm still genuinely excited because I cannot wait for you to play it. I've been so, like, you deserve this.
Yes, I'm very excited.
This is the biggest game since we've showed this podcast for you, right?
Yes, I'm very excited. I want to wrap myself in shrink wrap and go for, like, a cryo sleep until October 31st.
See, but that's how, the part of that lead-up's part of the fun.
I know, and I always say that I'm, like, not going to look at stuff, but I will probably be looking at stuff because I can't help myself. I want to see the character creator so bad. They've created, like, all the NPCs in the game are created using the character creator, other than, like, important, like, companions. So when we see, like, NPCs walking in the streets in, like, the gameplay reveal, like, I've been, like, looking at their hair to see what the hair looks like.
That's so funny.
The hair physics in this game are absolutely wild. I've never seen, like, if you have played any BioWare game, you know the hair in those games, it's like a piece of Play-Doh. It's hard. It's plasticky. It does not move, which, like, whatever. They're not exactly new games, but the hair in this game moves. There's long hair options. It's really incredible. So I really want to see the character creator. And, you know, maybe when Dragon Age and BioWare at Tokyo Game Show, maybe they'll give us a little peek or something. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I do hope that's between this episode and the next. I hope we have some really cool Tokyo Game Show news to talk about.
Yeah.
Guess we'll find out. when that happens, but I have very high hopes that that show could bring us some, I don't expect a ton, but there could be some really cool updates on things.
Yes. You know? Looking forward to it. Well, thanks everybody so much for listening to this episode of Talking
Flappy
Games
Bird
with
Flappy.
Kelly and Andrew. We hope that you have a very flappy day, week, month, year. So excited to chat next time in 2 weeks on the, oh my gosh, on October 1st.
Dun, dun, dun.
Spooky season will be upon us. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.